Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Governor DeSantis yesterday gave mostly the speech was about, most of the speech was about education. The stuff I found most interesting was about property tax. At the end, we had a really good discussion about what it would mean to eliminate property taxes, why property taxes are so fundamentally crazy. In the 6 o'clock hour, you can catch that on the podcast page at newsradio923.com or via the app, News Radio Pensacola. You should really have the app on your phone. Just, I hate this expression, but just saying. this is never true. But he talks a lot about education. He really brags about education in Florida, and rightly so.
Here today for a very simple reason. For 10 years in a row, Florida has been ranked number one in public higher education in the United States of America.
That's so crazy. 10 years. I mean, that's almost as long as I've lived here in Florida. Maybe there's a reason. No, just kidding. It's not related in any way. But I don't know. People outside of Florida don't have that perception. Even sometimes people inside of Florida do not have that perception. But part of the reason that Florida is so fantastic is the cost of higher education is so low.
Maybe the thing that I'm most proud of is if you look at what it costs to go to our state universities as a Florida resident, the tuition is exactly the same as it was the day I took office. There's been no increases in tuition for our Florida residents.
I thought Florida State and Florida were going to go up a little bit this year. I could be wrong about that. I thought, I'm going on memory. It was from a board meeting where UWF was talking about the tuition rate and that they were not going to increase, but that only two of the colleges were. That's what I thought. It's functionally irrelevant. I mean, he's right. The level of increase has been virtually non-existent over the past, in his office, 6 years, right? It's been quite some, seven, I got to do the math. Anyway, for quite some time. And the rate of tuition is ridiculous in Florida in a great way. I mean, it's $7,000. Like in Illinois, it's like 35 or 40 for in-state tuition. You know, when I went to school, it was $6,000. that's a ridiculous rate because we subsidize higher education in the state of Florida, which is great for residents. But also, what it means is between that and Bright Futures, which if you have good enough grades and good enough, SAT or ACT scores, you can qualify for either 75% discount or 100%, no tuition whatsoever. Now you're talking about a few hundred dollars a year or a thousand maybe when you put everything in. And, that means a lot of people go to school cheap or for free, and when they graduate, they don't have debt.
Tuition is manageable such that, you could work a part-time job. You really do not need to take out loans to go to our state universities as Florida residents. And in fact, right now, 77% of undergrads in Florida are loan-free, and that continues to increase year after year.
That's an amazing number. Because think about the nationwide problem of student loan debt. And then think about in Florida, 3/4 of our kids graduate college with no debt. And if they do have debt, it's tiny compared to what it would be in most places. So, stop saying it so loud. We don't want people will come. No income tax. Soon, perhaps, no property tax. College is cheap. We don't need the immigration. We have too many people already. Stop it. So anyway, I thought that was an amazing number. And then in addition, this is kind of a wild thing. This was the most interesting thing I heard yesterday. It's not as significant as the 77% debt-free, but it is a very fascinating one. There's this program where you can prepay for college in Florida. Listen to this.
We've had for many years now the Florida prepaid college program. And so you can start when the baby's born, right? You can pay in, you pay a little bit, and then basically when it comes time for Johnny or Susie to go to college, they're able to just go. The tuition's been paid for, and so it really is a good deal. But what happened was they were doing that forecasting that there would be modest increases in tuition, right? I mean, and that's probably a safe assumption. Well, because the tuition has remained flat, they've actually refunded our prepaid families with money. So you did prepaid, you're getting a check back, and your kid can still go tuition free. So I was really proud of that. I know that was something that was very, I think the first one was in like 2021 when you really started to see an inflation nationwide take off. And I think we did another one in the last couple years. But you're talking about a really significant amount of money that's been refunded to parents in prepaid.
First of all, amazing that the government is refunding money, right? But I got, maybe they're under statutory obligation based on this, like this account that you're into. But they projected the rise of tuition, and then tuition didn't rise. So here's your money back. I mean, that's just amazing. Again, stop. 8:15 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just dealing with one accident on Highway 90 and Stewart Street. Seeing just minor delays in that area. We'll get more information on that. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 is seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay through that construction zone. And also Highway 29 southbound headed toward I-10, experiencing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, I actually had somebody text me at 437-1620 and say, when we put our kids through school, the tuition refund is really nice. Now they basically used it to offset the prepaid they were using for their other kid. But still, she's like, yeah, that was a pretty nice thing when we got that refund. I can imagine. So very interesting. So President Trump got kicked off of YouTube. Remember this? Post January 6th?
Oh, that's right.
Okay. YouTube kicked him off. And he's been suing a lot of people in connection with what he believes is unfair treatment of him. Well, now they've reached a settlement. $22 million YouTube is paying him.
To pay him?
Well, it's not.
Well,
a slice of it is going to some other folks who were also deplatformed post January 6th. But most of that is going to go to pay for the new ballroom at the White House.
So that's where that came from.
So it's going to be the free speech ballroom.
Oh, that would be a perfect name.
No, it's
did he name it or
no?
Did
that's
you?
Me. That's my suggestion.
Wow, I
so
like it. Winds it.
But I don't think he listens to the show.
yeah, he
you
does.
Never know. We were talking earlier about the peace plan. Trump and Netanyahu and all this. And you think of free speech as being kind of the thing that you take for granted. In Britain, they don't have the kind of free speech that we have here. You had that comedian that got arrested for a threat because he made a joke about how if you see a transgender, a male pretending to be a woman, okay, in the bathroom, and you just want to make sure that you're safe, just kick him in between the legs and you'll find out. And they arrested him for that.
They did?
Well, it's a threat of violence. Yeah, you can't wrap your brain around it because you think of free speech, right? And
right.
That's not a threat of violence. It's a joke. But okay, so meanwhile, other news, you had the newest example of censorship in Britain is you had somebody who was, just writing about stuff online and saying things, saying, kind of horrible things, saying F this and F that and, the other. And in the meantime, the cops show up at his door and say, what are you putting online? He's like, I don't know. What are you talking about? And they showed him his meme, and it had a thing about, he's a blogger, and it had a thing about, again, F, I'm not, it actually said the words, and I'm not, if I say rain, the thing, and then instead of F, the thing, I don't know if there's a substitute, but it was F Palestine, F Hamas, F Islam, with the Palestinian flag behind it. Want to protest, and then it says F off to a Muslim country and protest there because they don't allow protests in a lot of Muslim countries. It's the freedom that you use to attack the freedom you wouldn't be able to use in the place where they don't let you have the freedom, right? So it's meant to be satire / political commentary. So the cops in Britain show up and say, you can't say that online. And the officer says, Let's start with the meme. You posted a meme that said F Hamas. Yeah, I did post a meme that said F Hamas because Hamas is a proscribed terrorist organization internationally, including in Britain. So it should be okay to say that to the terrorist organization. So he told the officer, just so we're on the same page here, though, you do know who Hamas is, right? And the officer just shook his head. The officer thought it was a person. Saw it online, so they showed up, and he says, you know, maybe in the future, if you're going to arrest people for memes, you should know a little bit more about current affairs. Yeah. Arrested on suspicion of publishing or distributing written material intended to stir up racial hatred. That's a crime. It's not everywhere has the protections we have for robust, inflammatory, unpleasant, offensive speech. It's kind of our thing, baby. It's kind of not their thing everywhere. I mean, don't get me wrong. You'd rather live in Great Britain and use your free speech than in, say, Iran, or Russia or China. But it's still not the U.S. of A. So keep that in mind. 820 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands.
And I'm on stage cooking and smoking.
This week it's Brandon Giles coming to the Gulfside Pavilion. He's a self-taught pianist by the age of 12, and he would describe it as Little Richard meets Kid Rock on steroids. You get it all at Bands on the Beach. No pets, no glass.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Jazz at Jackson's, Fall and Winter Menus, Fall Harvest Dinner, a Great Southern Dinner, Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving Grab and Go, all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
The name's Francis Sawyer, but everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you. You just made the list, buddy.
I met her in a club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like Coca-Cola. C-O-L-A, cola.
I always love a good Sesame Street song that teaches you how to spell things. 820... Do you remember when the song Lola would have been edgy?
Yes, I do.
Now it's just describing the classroom. 824 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth.
That's Sec War.
That's
you say
right.
Sec War.
Sec War.
Sec War. Sec, Sec Def, War. Sec War.
Mm-hmm. Sec War Hegseth took the stage before an unprecedented gathering of military commanders in Quantico, Virginia this morning. He had this message.
The new War Department golden rule is this. Do unto your unit as you would have done unto your own child's unit.
Well, I don't know what's going on with that audio there. That was
a strange bit of an odd location to have him speaking right underneath a giant beehive, but okay, you know, whatever. make decisions, you know.
In his remarks, Sec War Hegseth railed against DEI and politics infiltrating the military, said the message he's hoping to convey is that, quote, we must do better. President Trump also delivering some remarks here just a little bit ago, I believe I saw on Fox. Time running out to avoid a government shutdown, Andrew. The political theater is on. Top Republicans and Democrats met with the president Monday in an attempt to get a short-term deal. They left without any agreement on stopgap funding. And, well, I know you mentioned Sesame Street, but...
Obliquely. I mentioned it as, like... As, right. It wasn't a Sesame Street story, but go on. What
no,
do you
no,
got?
No, I got it. But a popular PBS show coming back on the air after 20 years since its last episode. On the air, though, I don't know, it's maybe the wrong expression. Reading Rainbow is coming back.
Across the but digital the, connectors.
The new episodes will not be on PBS. They'll be on Kidzuko's YouTube channel. I guess somehow I must have got the rights to it. With
kids
digital
must spell
creator
that correctly.
Michael 3 hosting. So the episodes will also be available on readingrainbow.org.
If it were a completely fabricated fact pattern that you were reading, it wouldn't sound any more like gibberish than that already does. it would sound as nutty as what you read, you know? So,
I couldn't clean up the nuttiness of that at just, all. Well. I tried though. But.
John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. It is brought to you by the Pensacola Little Theater. Get your tickets now for the epic gothic musical thriller Jekyll and Hyde running through October 5th. Get your tickets at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com. Back to rolling accident-free right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Still experience about a 5 to 7 minute construction congestion delay. And also 29 southbound just south of 9 Mile as you approach I-10. You're seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I will sometimes mess with my kids. Well, all the time you mess with your kids,
well,
you
yeah,
should.
I
yeah,
mean,
I mean, what's the point of having kids if you can't mess
exactly.
with them?
Exactly.
Anyway, but I will mess with them by pretending, like making up fake lingo to make fun of their, what seems to me like fake lingo. You know,
right.
Like you're talking about some influencer and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I was just the other day, you know, I was streamcasting the Pudding Hopper on Three Prong. What about you?
They're like, huh?
What's that, Dad? That's you making that up, aren't you? Yes. I'm always making it up. All right. Let's see. Oh, do we have President Trump? Is this live or is this Memorex? Go ahead and pull him up, John, if we get him for a minute or two. Let's see. This is the beginning of the address, maybe at Quantico?
To this country over the last 4 years with the incompetence. There could be no higher honor than to serve as your commander-in-chief. It is a great honor. I look at you, you're just incredible people. Central casting, I might add. To each and every one of you, I thank you for your unwavering devotion to the armed forces and to the country that we've all sworn a sacred oath to defend. We all have that oath, every one of us. I'm thrilled to be here this morning to address the senior leadership of what is once again known around the world as the Department of War. I know Pete spoke about it. He gave a great speech, I thought. Great speech. I don't want him to get so good. I hate that. You know? No, I hate it. I almost fired him. I said, you can't. I don't want to go on after that. No, he gave a great speech, but he talked about Department of War. We were sitting there. I said, didn't it used to be called the Department of War? And he goes, yes, sir. They changed it like in the early 50s. So we won the First World War. We won the Second World War. We won everything in between and everything before that. We only won. And then we went, in a way, woke. That was probably the first sign of wokeness. And we changed it to defense instead of war. And I said, what do you think? How do you think if we change it back? Would that be a nice idea? And Pete loved it immediately. Some people thought about it. You know, they gave it a little thought. But in the end, we did it. And I have to be honest, it's so popular. I thought it would be met with fury on the left. But they're sort of giving up, I must be honest with you. They've had it. They've had it with Trump. They've been after me for so many years now. Here we are. Here we are. Come to the White House anytime you'd like. No, they've given up. A lot of bad people. But all over, it's been so popular. It's been very popular. I really thought that we were going to have to sort of fight it through. There's been no fight. There's been no fight. Like what I called the Gulf of America, the Gulf of America. Because to me, it was always the Gulf of America. I could never understand. We have 92% of the frontage. And for years, actually 350 years, they were there before us. It was called the Gulf of Mexico. I just had this idea. I'm looking at a map. I'm saying, we have most of the frontage. Why is it Gulf of Mexico? Why isn't it the Gulf of America? And I made the change, and it went smoothly. I mean, we had a couple of fake news outlets that refused to make the change. And then one of them, AP, took us to court, and we won. And the judge, who was a somewhat liberal judge, said, the name is the Gulf of America, because AP refused to call it the Gulf of America. They wrote, they're not a good outfit, by the way. They call it the Gulf of Mexico. I said, no, the Gulf of America is the name. And the judge actually said that, in fact, you can't even go into the room because what you're doing is not appropriate. The name is the Gulf of America. Google Maps changed the name. Everybody did, but AP wouldn't. And then we won in court. How about that? Isn't that so cool? The Secretary Hegseth beautifully described the name change reflects far more than the shift in branding. It's really a historic reassertion of our purpose and our identity and our pride. That's when we go with the word war. And, you know, we want war because we want to have no wars. But you have to be there, and, you know, sometimes you have to do it. I have settled so many wars since we're here. We're here almost 9 months, and I've settled seven. And yesterday we might have settled the biggest of them all, although I don't know. Pakistan, India was very big. Both nuclear powers, I settled that. But yesterday could be the settlement in the Middle East. That hasn't happened for 3,000 years. I said, how long have you been fighting? 3,000 years, sir. That's a long time. But we got it, I think, settled. We'll see. Hamas has to agree. And if they don't, it's going to be very tough on them. But it is what it is. But all of the Arab nations, Muslim nations have agreed. Israel has agreed. It's an amazing thing. It just came together. War is very strange, you know. You never know what's going to happen with war. The easiest one of them all is Putin. I said, number one, it's a war that would have never happened if I were president, if the election weren't rigged. And if I were president, that war would have never happened, not even a little chance. And it didn't happen for 4 years. But I knew Putin very well, and I thought that would be easy because I know him so well. Well, that one turned out to be the hardest of them all. We had some that were not settleable, and they all got settled. So if this works out that we did yesterday with the Middle East, then that's more than a war. That's lots of wars. That's all combined. That's a lot of wars. Many of you were over there in many different capacities in many different countries. That's a big part of the earth. But if that works out, it would be 8+. I could give myself 2 or 3 for that one. And then we just have the one to settle, and we have to settle it up with President Putin and Zelensky. Got to get them together and get it done. But the only way we can do that is through strength. I mean, if we were weak, they wouldn't even take my phone call. But we have extreme strength. We had the horror show in Afghanistan, which is really the reason I think that Putin went in. He saw that horror show by Biden and his team of incompetent people. And that showed, I think it gave him a path in. I wasn't there any longer. I watched that, and it was so, so horrible. I think it was the most embarrassing day in the history of our country. And now we're back. And that's it. We're not going to have any of that crap happen, I can tell you. That was terrible, so terrible. Together we're reawakening the warrior spirit, and this is a spirit that won and built this nation. And from the cavalry that tamed the Great Plains to the ferocious, unyielding power of Patton Bradley and the great General Douglas MacArthur. These are all great men. In this effort, we're a team, and so my message to you is very simple. I am with you, I support you, and as president, I have your backs 100%. You'll never see me even waver a little bit. It's the way it is. And that includes our great police officers and firemen and all of these people that are doing so well. Together over the next few years, we're going to make our military stronger, tougher, faster, fiercer, and more powerful than it has ever been before. I rebuilt our nuclear, as you probably know, but we'll upgrade that also and just hope we never have to use it. We have to hope we never have to use it, because the power of that is so incredible. I see things. I don't think they'd show it to you. I really wouldn't want them to show it to you. But when you see the result of what's left, you never want to use that. Never, never, ever. We were a little bit threatened by Russia recently, and I sent a submarine, nuclear submarine, the most lethal weapon ever made. Number one, you can't detect it. There's no way. We're 25 years ahead of Russia and China in submarines. Russia's actually second in submarines. China's third, but they're coming up. They're coming up. They're way lower in nuclear, too, but in 5 years, they'll be equal. They're coming up. And you don't have to be that good with nuclear. You could have 1/20th what you have now and still do the damage that would be, that'd be so horrendous. But I announced that, based on his mention of nuclear, and it was really a stupid person that works for him mentioned the word nuclear, I moved a submarine or two, I won't say about the two, over to the coast of Russia, just to be careful, because we can't let people throw around that word. I call it the N-word. There are two N-words, and you can't use either of them. Can't use either of them. And frankly, if it does get to use, we have more than anybody else. We have better, we have newer, but it's something we don't ever want to even have to think about. But when somebody mentions it, that submarine started immediately thereafter. And it's just lurking, but I'm sure we're not going to have to use it. But it's an amazing, it's undetectable, totally. Ours is, theirs isn't. Theirs are totally detectable. We can detect them easily. We go right to the spot. But we have genius apparatus that doesn't allow detection. It doesn't allow detection at all by anybody, above water or below water. It's incredible. We're way ahead of everybody in that and other things. As a result of the exciting renewal of the spirit of our armed forces, and that's what it is, it's really reaching that spirit, unprecedented heights. Over the past 8 months, new enlistments, I'm so proud of this, have surged to record highs, the highest we've ever had. And we used to have recruiting shortages. If you remember, about a year and a half ago, I was at the beginning stage of a campaign, and things came out that you couldn't get people to join the armed forces. And by the way, the police also. Fire department. I always put the fire department in because they're great. They're great. And I got 95% of their vote, too. That helps. When you get 95% of their vote, you always have to mention them. But they're great. And they're brave. In our inner cities, which we're going to be talking about, because it's a big part of war now. It's a big part of war. But the firemen go up in ladders, and you have people shooting at them while they're up in ladders. I don't even know if anybody heard that. And I said, don't talk about it much, but I think you have to. Our firemen are incredible. They're up in one of these ladders that goes way up to the sky, rescuing people, and you have animals shooting at them, shooting bullets at firemen that are way up in death territory. You fall off that ladder, it's over. It's over. They don't even have to inspect you when you hit the ground. And you have people shooting bullets at them in some of these inner cities. We're not going to let that happen. So I always mention the firemen because that's actually a big problem we have. They are unbelievable. Like you, they're unbelievable people. For the first time on record in 2025, the Navy, Air Force, and Space Force all met or surpassed their recruiting goals 3 months early. That never happened before. And the Army did even better. Congratulations, Army. They met everything. And these were the highest standards because we're making it larger. So these were much higher standards than you had 4 years ago, 3 years ago, during the Sleepy Joe Biden era. And the Army did it 4 months early. And you remember, a year and a half ago, they said the big story is that we're way behind with the Army, Air Force, the Navy, the Marines. We're way behind, Coast Guard, and even Space Force. I love Space Force because that was my creation. You know, when you create something, I love it. And the people we put in there were good. I got that right. We put in great people initially, and we've really dominated. We really dominate in that sphere now. We're way behind China and Russia, and now we dominate. Space Force turned out to be a very important thing. I said from the beginning, you know, when Biden came into office, he wanted to terminate it. He said, and this thing called Space Force, so we could get rid of that. And he got hammered by the people in this room for even suggesting it, because it's very important, one of the most important. And as time goes by, it'll get more and more important. But we're now at 106% of our recruiting targets for the year, and that's the best in far more than a generation. And for the Marines, morale is so strong that the Marine Corps will meet its 2026 retention targets before the end of October, which never happens. And that's the earliest it's ever happened in the history of our country. And it makes you feel good, you know. I felt guilty. I'd go make a speech in front of never people like you. You are the leaders, but people, soldiers. And I felt embarrassed because there'd be stories about, you know, we couldn't fill up our Army, Navy, Air Force. We couldn't fill them up. And it was headlines. It was during Biden's 4 years, the auto pen. I call him the auto pen. It's, how would you like to have your thing signed by an auto pen? You know, when I have a general and I have to sign for a general because we have beautiful paper, the gorgeous paper, I said, throw a little more gold on it. They deserve it. I want the A paper, not the D paper. We used to sign a piece of garbage. I said, this man's going to be a general, right? Yeah. I don't want to use this. I want to use the big, beautiful, firm paper. I want to use the real gold writing when you talk about the position, and they're beautiful. And, but how would you like to have that where some kid sitting in the back office is having it signed with an auto pen? I thought about it, and I thought about you people first, admirals, generals. I said, somebody works his whole life. He gets into maybe the academies or wherever, but however you got there, and you go through years of work, and now you become an admiral or a general or whatever. And when you do, the President of the United States signs your commission, as you know, and that commission is beautifully displayed. And I sign it. Actually, I love my signature. I really do. Everyone loves my signature. But I sign it very proudly, and I always think to myself, how can you have an auto pen sign this? It's just so disrespectful. To me, it's just totally disrespectful. And it turned out that almost everything he did was signed by auto pen, except for when he gave his son, Hunter, pardon. He signed that one. And that's actually the worst signature I've ever seen. That was a bad. The auto pen looks much better. But as leaders, our commitment to every patriot who put on the uniform is to ensure that American military remains the most lethal and dominant on the planet, not merely for a few years, but for the decades and generations to come, for centuries. We must be so strong that no nation will dare challenge us, so powerful that no enemy will dare threaten us, and so capable that no adversary can even think about beating us. And we've had it recently. I had India and Pakistan were going at it, and I called them both. And in this case, I used trade. I'm not going to trade with you. You start two nuclear nations, big nuclear. And no, you cannot do that. I said, yes, I can. You go into this freaking war that I'm hearing about. You know, actually, they just shot down seven planes. It was starting. There's a lot of bad blood. And I said, you do this, there's not going to be any trade. And I stopped the war. It was raging for 4 days, but that was just the beginning. And we stopped it. It was a great thing. And the Prime Minister of Pakistan was here, along with the Field Marshal, who's a very important guy in Pakistan. And he was here 3 days ago. And I didn't even realize it as beautifully as he said it, but he said that to a group of people that were with us, two generals, but a group, he said, this man saved millions of lives because he saved the war from going on, and that war was going to get very bad, very, very bad. President Trump saved millions and millions of lives. That was a bad war. And I was very honored. I loved the way he said it. Susie Wiles was there. She said that was the most beautiful thing. But we saved a lot of them. Saved a lot of them. Even in Africa, we saved the Congo with Rwanda. They've been fighting for 31 years, 10 million people dead. I got that one done. And very proud of it. So if this works out, we'll have eight in 8 months. That's pretty good. Nobody's ever done that. Will you get the Nobel Prize? Absolutely not. They'll give it to some guy that didn't do a damn thing. They'll give it to a guy that wrote a book about the mind of Donald Trump and what it took to solve the wars. And he'll get the Nobel Prize will go to a writer. No, but well, let's see what happens. But it's be a big insult to our country. I will tell you that. I don't want it. I want the country to get it. But it should get it because there's never been anything like it. Think of it. So if this happens, I think it will. I don't say that lightly because I know more about deals than anybody. This is what my whole life was based on. And they can change, and this can certainly change. But we have just about everybody. We have one signature that we need, and that signature will pay in hell if they don't sign. I hope they sign for their own good and we create something really great. But to have done eight of them is just like such an honor. And then we have Putin and Zelensky, the easiest one of them all. I said, that one I'll get done. I thought that was going to be first. The other was much harder, some of them. Azerbaijan this was going on for 36 years. They said, it's not solvable, sir. You can't, don't do it. I said, I will do it. I will do it. And I got on the phone with the two countries. They were great. They were great. I knew immediately. I knew as soon as I started talking to them, we're going to solve that war. We did. Now they're so happy. Now they're friends. One said, he's been president for 22 years. He said, you know, for 22 years, I did nothing but kill his people. They were in the room together at the Oval Office. And they started off spread like this. I have the beautiful Resolute desk. And one was here, and one was here. You couldn't get further away. That's the furthest I've ever seen two people in front of me. And as the hour went by, they got closer, closer, closer. And at the end of the hour, we had it done. And they hugged and hugged and hugged. And I said, that's so nice, and you're going to remain friends. And I spoke to them, one of them, the other day. He said, no, he's now my friend. But for 22 years, he's been the head of Azerbaijan for 22 years. And the other guy, great guy, too, seven. And you know that war. That was a war that was not solvable. He said, for 7 years. The other one said, for 22 years, all I did was kill his people. That's all I've done. I said, well, we're going to put a stop to that. So we solved that. So it's a great thing. It's a great feeling. You know, you're saving Kosovo and Serbia. You're saving so many lives doing this, if you can do it. But our people deserve nothing less than the very best. And we're never going to let them down. And if we can solve wars instead of you having to fight wars, wouldn't that be wonderful, right? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's why one of the first executive orders I signed upon taking office was to restore the principle of merit. That's the most important word, other than the word tariff. I love tariffs. Most beautiful word. But I'm not allowed to say that anymore. I said, tariff is my favorite word. I love the word tariff. You know, we're becoming rich as hell. We have a big case in front of the Supreme Court, but I can't imagine. Because this is what other nations have done to us. And we have, you know, great legal grounds and all, but you still have a case. It would be very bad if something happened. But I said, My favorite word in the English dictionary is the word tariff. And people thought that was strange. And the fake news came over and they really hit me hard on it. They said, what about love? What about religion? What about God? What about wife, family? I got killed when I said tariff is my favorite word. So I changed it. It's now my fifth favorite word. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But they hit me hard. But it is. I mean, when you look at, we've taken in trillions of dollars. We're rich, rich again. And there'll never be, when we finish this out, there'll never be any wealth like what we have. Other countries were taking advantage of us for years and years. You know that better than anybody. And now we're treating them fairly. But the money coming in is, we've never seen anything like it. The other day, they had $31 billion that they found, $31 billion. So we found $31 billion, and we're not sure from where it came. A gentleman came in, a financial guy. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, we don't know where it came. I said, check the tariff shelf. No, sir, the tariffs haven't started in that sector yet. I said, yes, they have. They started 7 weeks ago. Check it. Comes back 20 minutes later. Sir, you're right. It came from tariffs. $31 billion. That's enough to buy a lot of battleships, Admiral, to use an old term. I think we should maybe start thinking about battleships, by the way. You know, we have a Secretary of the Navy came to me, because I look at the Iowa out in California, and I look at different ships and the old pictures. I used to watch Victory at Sea. I love Victory at Sea. Look at these admirals. It's got to be your all-time in black and white. And I look at those ships. They came with the destroyers alongside of them, and, man, nothing was going to stop. They were 20 deep, and they were in a straight line, and there was nothing going to stop them. And we actually talk about, you know, those ships, some people would say, no, that's old technology. I don't know. I don't think it's old technology when you look at those guns. But it's something we're actually considering, the concept of battleship. Nice six-inch side solid steel, not aluminum. Aluminum that melts if it looks at a missile coming at it. Starts melting as the missile's about 2 miles away. Now, those ships, they don't make them that way anymore. But you look at it, and your secretary likes it, and I'm sort of open to it. And bullets are a lot less expensive than missiles. A lot of reasons. I should take a vote, but I'm afraid to take that vote because I may get voted out on that one. But I tell you, it's something we're seriously considering. There were powers. There were big powers. They were just about as mean and scary as you could be. And so we're looking at that. One of the biggest cases that we won was the decision of the United States Supreme Court to allow us to proceed on the word merit. Merit. So those two words are right up there. So this is, I would say, the opposite, if you ask for a definition, the opposite of political correctness. We went through political correct where you had to have people that were totally unfit to be doing what you're doing for many reasons. I won't get into them. But for many reasons, they were unfit. Now, it's all based on merit. That was such an unbelievable decision. I didn't expect we were going to win that one. We went in. We said we need it. We went in for colleges, you know, where kids with a C average are getting into the best colleges, and the kids with A averages won't get in. And kids with the highest boards and the highest marks or the best marks couldn't get into the best schools. And people that had not good boards and not very good marks, I mean, okay, but nothing special, they were getting into our best colleges. I said, this is just crazy. We can't run. You can't run a country like this. And it was lingering for years, and it got to the Supreme Court, and we won that decision. Merit. Everything's based on merit. You're all based on merit. We're not going to have somebody taking your place for political reasons because they are politically correct, and you're not. We take the people that are going to do the best job. That's all. It's very simple. And that's the way our country was built. We were built on merit. We got away from it for a long time. And everyone understands it. And it was done. It was approved. I give great credit to the Supreme Court because I thought they had tremendous courage. I didn't think they'd do that. That was tremendous. I give them maybe for that decision almost more than anything, because It's a hard decision to make. It's really hard. The apparatus of our country was not set up for merit. It was set up for political correctness. And you can never be great if you're going to do that. And we're going to be greater than we ever were before. We're bringing back a focus on fitness, ability, character, and strength. And that's because the purposes of American military is not to protect anyone's feelings. It's to protect our republic. And it's the republic that we dearly love. It's to protect our country. We will not be politically correct when it comes to defending American freedom. And we will be a fighting and winning machine. We want to fight. We want to win. And we want to fight as little as possible. You have to count on people like me to keep you out of wars, because we don't want to go into wars. Many of the wars that I just told you about, we could have entered those wars and settled them in a different way, lose a lot of our troops. And we could have settled them, I guess, differently. Maybe not, actually. Actually, you might not have been able to settle them. We just would have been in the middle of a lot of firepower. But when we do need it, you're going to be so ready. And you know it. But very importantly, with that goal in mind, I've committed to spending over $1 trillion on our military in 2026, and that's the most in the history of our country. $1 trillion, that's a lot of money. I hope you like that, ma'ams and sirs. I hope you like it. That's a hell of a lot of money. We have the best of everything. Every branch is seeing major investments. And as I announced in the Oval Office in March, we are rapidly moving forward with the first ever sixth generation fighter jet. I didn't name it. I did not name it. Boeing came in and they said, sir, this is our submittal. It's the greatest fighting jet ever done. And, you know, they're testing all these planes. All the companies are testing. And this one tested like through the roof. And they said, we'd like to name it the F-47. I said, all right, let me think about it. Then after thinking for about 2 seconds, I said, okay. You know what that means, 47, I'm 47. So I'm 45, 46, and 47, you know, if you think about it. I just don't want the credit for 46. I don't want to have their open borders and people coming in from all over the world, including jails and mental incidents. I don't want that on my record, but I like having it. We're investing tens of billions of dollars in modernizing our nuclear deterrence capabilities like never before. And we've begun construction on what we call the Golden Dome Missile Defense Shield. It'll be the most sophisticated in the world. You watched it do well until they had some problems at the end with a little bit of a lack of ammunition, defensive ammunition, but they've got that taken care of. But I tell you, it's what we're doing is so good, and we deserve it. You know, we help other countries with it. We don't have it ourselves. And Canada called me a couple of weeks ago. They want to be part of it, to which I said, well, why don't you just join our country? You become 51, become the 51st state, and you get it for free. So I don't know if that made a big impact, but it does make a lot of sense. It actually makes, because they're having a hard time up there in Canada now, because as you know, with tariffs, everyone's coming into our country. We have more investment than we've ever had before, $17 trillion coming in. As an example, in 4 years, Biden didn't have $1 trillion. We have $17 trillion, more than that, in 8 months coming in. And they're coming in from Canada, Mexico, from Europe, from all over, AI, auto plants. Everybody's coming back to the United States. Under my budget, we will be expanding the U.S. Navy by at least 19 ships next year, including submarines, destroyers, assault ships, and more. And it's going to be much more than that as we go along, because we basically don't build ships anymore. We do build submarines, but we don't build ships. Do you know, in the Second World War, they were freighters and different types, but we were doing a ship a day, and now we don't do ships.